Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's in the hands of Tatum. He's looking into the front court. Gets it in safe into Morris. Looking for the handoff to Kyrie. Kyrie's got it. Steps to his left. Returns to the open Morris. Three in the air.
Oh.
Got it! And with 0.3 seconds remaining, the Boston Celtics have found the Boston Celtics of a year ago. They've come from 22 down to tie it. Devin Booker's three-quarter court shot sails wide right. And a game that the Celtics have trailed since the opening seconds is now going to overtime.
The worst play I've seen. What happens? You can foul Kyrie Irving with him with the ball in his hand. You can do that right then and there, but you don't foul him, and you allow him to get a shot, to get a pass off. That was a horrible defensive play by the Phoenix Suns.
So that was a great comeback. Great comeback by the Celts. Balls. And Kyrie Irving is absolutely, he might need back surgery after this. He's just carrying you. But to be in that position against that team, I think the Celtics are not out of the woods with their issues. But to speak to the nature of that, the ballsy nature of that comeback, would you just read to me, Murray?
According to ESPN Stats and Info, Phoenix had a 99.5% chance of winning when Devin Booker hit a shot to make it 94-80 with 3:45 left in regulation.
Yeah, you just don't see that with that little time left.
14 points with 3:40. I thought that 8 points with 1:37 was insane.
Sure.
Booker missed a free throw that really set the tone for the whole thing. Could have made it a three-possession
right.
game. He missed one of two, made it a six-possession game, and Kyrie hits 1-3, Morris hits the other, and there you go.
I mean, 14 with 3:40 to go. All you have to do is run down the shot clock and get fouled every time down the floor, and you win. I mean, it really is that
simple. You have to work hard. No, or you just have to keep chucking threes early in the shot clock because the nerds upstairs tell you to keep doing that.
I mean, it's situational basketball or a lack of it. You have to open the door for a team to be able to do that. You do, because they don't just win by chucking and making six threes in the last 3 minutes or whatever it is.
It's about hot.
Okay.
Only Boston teams do it. It's like 28-3.
Agenda Free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness, the world judges. They don't. PlanetFitness.com. Tuukka Rask on leave of absence from the Bruins. That was surprise news this afternoon. That's on the board, along with the Celtics last night in Phoenix. The Patriots coming up this weekend. Anything you want, you set the tone. That's the deal. We've got Mike in Worcester on Rask. Go ahead, Mike.
Listen, first time, long time, guys. I want to talk about Tuukka Rask. Why? How many opportunities are you going to give this guy? Keep giving him a chance. Stinks. Letting up goals. Letting up. He's a loser. He's not a winner. What are we going to do?
So that's a little strong, but I don't think he's elite. I don't think he's been elite for a long time. I don't think he's been worth his contract for a long time. So I think they should have been looking to move this guy for a long time. Now? How do you do it now?
You can't do it now.
Well, he's the third highest paid goalie in the league. He can't stop a balloon. And now he's got some personal issue on top of it that's causing him to leave the team.
Correct.
Couldn't trade that if you tried.
No. I mean, in order to do it, you'd have to eat like virtually the whole contract, for crying out loud. Someone says, all right, we'll take a flyer on it. At least if you want to get something for him, you can't do it. There's no value there right now.
Couple Celtics calls. Steve and Carver. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, Felger, I think Gordon Hayward is dodging Utah tonight. So, look, here's the situation.
Both is he Kyrie sitting out
Hayward,
tonight?
No,
yeah,
Kyrie.
Hayward is too. I thought he was.
No, Hayward's playing
Hayward's
tonight.
Playing.
In fact,
hold on. Let's all talk at once. Who's playing?
I read it. Hayward's playing tonight. I read this morning. I mean, unless it's changed in the last little bit, which I don't think it has. He's talking about his return to Utah. I was looking forward to it. His wife is flying out for it, for crying out loud. And they pulled him last night, 24 minutes, 30 seconds. So normally they don't play him on back-to-back. Part of the reason I think he wasn't on the floor late in the game is because he wants to play in Utah tonight.
Very important. I'm sure he's got an Instagram story up on it very soon.
The official Celtics Twitter account just put out, too. It's Kyrie not playing because he's going to his grandfather's memorial service, and Tice because he's hurt. That's it.
So Kyrie Irving is out.
Yes.
Have you been reporting that?
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, that's not good, but at least Hayward gets his video. That's good. Well, that's important. Steve, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Guys, so, Maz, you kind of stole my thunder. I was wrong about that. I thought Hayward was sitting. But, guys, Tatum played at the end of that game last night, so I don't know if he was benched. thoroughly. I don't know if they have that personal vendetta against Tatum's defense. I just think they wanted to spark some energy into that team. That's why Yabusele got in there. That's why Ojeley got in there. But the bigger point is I think the development of Brown and Tatum are starting to be hindered on this team. What's more important, winning games in the regular season with guys like Marcus Morris, you know, getting 20 points, or developing Tatum and Brown? That's the future. That's what this team needs to focus on, not winning games against, you know, crap bag teams on the road. Those two guys need to develop so we can continue to win championships further into the future and build something important.
Steve, that's really an interesting point. Thank you for the call. What is this year about? Is it about winning a championship? Because if it's about winning a championship, then it's you need to win every game and get home court and get to the finals. And Marcus Morris, you need for that. Or is it about max development of these young assets so you're a wagon for 5 to 10 years coming up whenever, you know, Golden State runs out?
Well, it's about both. I mean, it is. It's about both. Now,
is Marcus Morris getting as much time and yank and, you know, role? Is that hindering the young guys?
Well, right now, I would say he's earned it.
Of course he's earned it, but does it hinder the young guys?
Yes and no. And when I say yes and no, I know that's a cop-out answer. But on the one hand, you say, do they need more time on the floor? Yeah. What are you going to do? Just give it to them for the sake of giving it to them?
Good point. So is the culture important that you earn your time?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's very important. And in fact, I'm glad they stuck it to Tatum last night. If I were them, I told you, I just started the year with Tatum coming off the bench. They weren't going to do it with Hayward. Like, to me, that probably is the right way to go because of the injury. But they weren't going to do that with him, so put Tatum on the bench. He still only has 1 year in the league. He's going to get his 25 minutes a night. He's going to get them. So to me, that's what I would do, is make it clear that, yes, there is a culture and a pecking order here. Last year was exception, not the rule.
Aaron and Quincy on Kyrie. Go ahead, Aaron.
What's going on, guys? Happy Friday.
Same to you.
Kyrie's out tonight. How do you guys think Gordon will have his first game back in Utah? The last caller brought up a good point about how Jalen and Jason like really hinder him, like, and how he hasn't really fit into the offense, of course, coming off an injury. How do you guys expect him to play tonight?
I don't think those young guys are hindering him. I think he's hindering himself. He's not all the way back, but he's got this role because he's a big free agent signing. They spent all that money. He's got this name and this stature, and he's the coach's guy, and so he's being shoehorned in there, but he ain't ready.
I also think they feel obligated to him to give him minutes and have him in a starting five because he played all of 6 minutes before he got injured.
Yes,
last
all
year,
these.
Too.
These are all the wrong reasons. I agree with you, Murray. And it sort of bugs me. So you could have lost the game last night because you had less than your best players on the floor because you had to preserve Hayward for tonight. So he gets, I mean, is this Isaiah Thomas, the mouthy little peanut, in his video here in Boston? It's the same sort of crap. Just so we can get Gordon Hayward his moment in Utah? How's that? Is that best for the team? Or is this all for Hayward's Instagram story and his shoe commercial or whatever that bleep, you know, these guys are promoting or doing? Right? It's like, so it's about his personal moment back in Utah? And for that, you have to mix up the personnel last night in another game that still counts? Like, that whole thing I don't like. I mean, do I have to? Should I?
No. No, you're right to be annoyed by it, especially when, you know, they could have lost that, and it's now three games in a row that they start this road trip off with losses into the most wretched team in the NBA.
No, I'm really glad Gordon Hayward's going to get his moment. That's really important to us as Celtics followers. That really matters. Bob and Lynn. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, how do you like Louis now? Louis Erickson there.
I still think he sucks.
Hey, on Tuca, you ever notice he looks like George Costanza's mother-in-law? Check it out.
That's tough.
And Murray, F and X, you rule. And Maz, the best-looking girl on the LPGA, Danielle Kang.
Okay,
take care.
He's got something for all of us. He's got something for all of us. Cam and Taunton on the MVP stuff in baseball. Yes, Cam?
You know, the BBWAA, every time I think they can't embarrass themselves more, they do. And, Maz, I'm going to leave you to decide this because I think you're one of the few guys in that association that doesn't think they're God's gift to the earth.
I agree with
you.
So,
I look at it like this. You cannot tell me that Martin, it's not just the war stat, it's the DH bias. It's been 50 years, people. Can you just accept the fact that it's part of the game? Oh, it's not the game I grew up with. You have to play the field. We don't want any pitch locking here. And these people think they're some keeper of the gate. I guarantee you, some jackass is going to leave Mariano Rivera off their ballot this year and Jeter next year because, oh, no one's been a unanimous voter before. I'm not going to let that start now. Who do these guys think they are?
Okay, I'll just say, Cam, is it really that automatic that it's J.D. Martinez over Mookie Betts? Because you can't have them both.
Yes, it is. J.D. Martinez changed the entire team in the lineup. They went from the worst offensive team in the AL last year to the best, and he was the only difference. It's
okay.
Martinez.
So I would give him the nod, too. I'm just telling you, it's not like some epic miscarriage of justice.
No, it's not.
You can only pick one. That's the way it works. They're not going to give you two MVP finalists from one team.
Yeah, but that he's not a finalist.
But did you understand?
Yeah, but what makes these writers now look like complete fools? Do you realize that J.D. Martinez just won two Silver Slugger Awards? Two. How does that happen? Because he won it for...
two different positions?
Yeah, outfielder and DH. It's the first time it's ever happened in 39 years in the history they gave out the award.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just saying, Maz, then you have to not put Mookie Betts on the finals.
Correct.
Ballot.
It's one or the other. Yeah, more often than not, when you have two good candidates on one team, one ends up first.
When's the last time... I mean, there's probably a list of 10 or 11 guys, 15 guys...
Sure.
...who get MVP votes, but they only announced three finalists.
Correct.
Okay? Folks, nerds, tell me. When's the last time two players from one team were in the final three in MVP ballot?
Well, and even
Pedroia and Euculus in 08.
Okay, 10 years ago.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Did they announce
Pedroia
finalists?
Won it. That was the whole Evan Grant, Rangers guy who didn't vote for Pedroia. And then Euculus was third, and Euculus should have won the MVP.
Okay, so they both finished in the top three, but they only recently have gotten into the habit of announcing who the finalists are. Like before, you used to just submit a ballot with 10 names on it, and then you would know who the winner was. They didn't announce the three finalists
right.
The week before.
Right.
So that's a relatively new phenomenon. But it's unusual in this day and age for two guys from the same team to end up in the top three.
So I'm just saying, you had to pick one.
You get punished for being too good? Change the name of the award to the Felger and Maz Award.
I don't get it. What does that mean?
Well, if anyone's going to find fault, it's this show. He's too good. I don't like it. Thumbs down.
No, I agree. Yeah, that's a problem. You don't want to be too good.
All right. We got football talk. I see your calls on the board. We'll get to you and with Bob Soucy in our Town Fair Tire Studios next.
Felger and Maz. At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second and 10, Brady drops back, throws it down the left side, wide open, Gordon makes the catch, slips a hit, goodbye, 20, 15, 10, touchdown Patriots.
Oh, start the buses. Woo-hoo-hoo. What a Sunday night.
It's time for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Soucy.
Got the buses! Sing it with me, Bieber. Here we go. Smoking Bob Soucy. Smoking Bob Soucy and his Hot Takes. All right. Let's get down to it.
I need to see the liner notes on that.
We got real business to attend to here. The voice of the Patriots, Bob Soucy. You'll hear him on the call 1 p.m. on Sunday with Scott Zolak down in Nashville, Tennessee. Patriots, Titans. Bobby, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
That's good to be here. Thank you.
Okay, first question. How come Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl last year? What do you know? What's so funny? You know. Come on. You're a team employee. You're a team broadcaster. You know stuff.
He did play, Mike.
Come on. Why didn't he play defense?
He logged a snap on special teams.
Why didn't he play defense in the Super Bowl?
You know that your guess is as good as mine. Well, probably not, but nonetheless, I'm not going to venture to guess.
What do you think this week?
What do I think this week? It's interesting. There's a lot of intrigue, obviously, about the Vrabel connection with the Patriots as an all-time great player. I think he should be in the Patriots Hall of Fame, and it's a matter of time before he will. The battles that he had with Brady in practice, going against Tom, of course, playing on the scout team, getting inside each other's head, you know, the bragging rights. From what I've been told, I was never around the team when Mike played, obviously, but from what I've been told, he's the kind of guy that was, you know, a great bluster in the locker room and somebody that really established the tone there day to day. You know better than I. So, you know, does that carry over? Can that have any effect on this particular game, especially when you have guys on that side of the ball who came from New England, and all of whom have their own chips on their shoulders. When you think about Logan Ryan, drafted in the third round, a guy who kept the list of all the cornerbacks taken ahead of him, and you know, plays with a chip on his shoulder, no doubt. And Deion Lewis, you know, with his size, overcoming what he has to be a good player in this league. And then, of course, Malcolm Butler, the undrafted free agent, and you know, trying to live up to the contract that he signed with the Titans, in addition to going up against his former team, the Patriots, and playing as competitively, or at least trying to be as competitive as he's been in the past. I think there's a lot of intrigue, naturally. They've got a good defense, among the league's best in a lot of different categories, including the most important, which is scoring defense and red zone defense. And they've got a bunch of guys that are veteran players that played the Patriots in January last year on that side of the ball. And you know, they held their own for a while. It was 14-14 until the Pats pulled away.
Can Tennessee score?
It was 7-0 until the Pats scored 35 unanswered. But
can Tennessee score?
That's
enough?
The thing. I don't know if Tennessee can score enough. I really don't. You know, I thought Corey Davis after that game last year might be a guy that we would look at this year and say he broke out because he had the two touchdown catches against the Patriots. But he's only had one touchdown catch this season, one touchdown catch in his regular season career as a first-round pick. And Mariota has played well, you know, in a couple of games against Philadelphia, certainly against the Cowboys. But I think the Patriots are playing well, too, right now, especially coming off the game against Green Bay.
Did you think the Bears would be able to score on the Patriots?
Tell you a lot of factors in that game. If the Patriots fumble on the kickoff return, break down and rush Marcus Mariota the way they rushed Mitchell Trubisky and not the way they rushed Aaron Rodgers with that containment rush, then you know they're going to give up some plays. But I don't think that we're going to see that. I would be surprised if we saw that this week.
So you think the defense has turned a corner, or
I think they're turning a corner. Yeah, I think you know, based on the way they played last week against Rodgers, I thought they did an excellent job. They got pressure on him consistently. You know, they didn't allow a lot of big plays. They tackled in space. I think Jason McCourty has really become a nice complementary cornerback to what Stephon Gilmore has done. I think you know, you look at the pass rush with Trey Flowers and Adrian Claiborne. I know they only had the one sack, but just the coordination of it. And Claiborne was a guy that, against Trubisky, had some difficulty staying home and keeping containment in that particular game. And I thought we saw against Green Bay was the rush they wanted to see, which is similar to what we're going to expect from them against Mariota.
Give me a grade for Cordell Patterson at running back, and is it over?
Well, it depends, I would imagine, on the status of Sony Michel this week.
If Michelle's healthy, is this the last we're going to see of it?
I would think so. I mean, that maybe not the last of it, but I think that you know, if Michelle's healthy, that's the guy you line up in the eye.
How's Patterson done?
And the ball too. I think he's done great. I mean, when you consider that he's been a kick returner and a guy who's run the ball on jet sweeps and been an outside receiver, and he did carry the ball a little bit last year, lined up in the backfield for Oakland, but nonetheless, so, you know, what more could you ask of him in that role? Inviting contact, running between the tackles, dragging a guy who had a hold of his shirt tail,
mass,
lowering his shoulders, diving into the end zone. And, you know, we should give it a big assist to James Devlin and that offensive line, too, because as I think it was Jeff Schwartz, the former lineman, pointed out on social media yesterday with a string of highlights, Patterson essentially has followed the fullback. Devlin. I mean, it's been really well coordinated.
Make no mistake.
Dante Scarnecchia.
So did Michelle.
And Ivan Fierce. But in this case, you know, there's really no reads in a lot of cases, according, you know, to what Jeff demonstrated. I thought, you know, very well in the highlights. You know, and I think that Patterson has done everything you could ask of him in that role.
Yeah, see, Bob, you're a nice person. Because I look at it and
I say... Well, I certainly would have given the Patriots a higher grade than C-, or at least the quarterback than a C- on Sunday night, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So that brings me to another topic, actually. Like, I look at the fact that they had to run a couple of trick plays to generate offense against Green Bay and say, well, that doesn't necessarily speak well of the regular every-down offense. Agree or disagree?
I thought you have to give... You know, I know the Packers' defense has really been lacking for a long time, I think, especially consistently. They've really been porous. But I thought Mike Pettine did some good things in that game, as he did the week before. I mean, they showed some different looks pre-snap than what the Patriots got after the ball was snapped. And I thought that the Patriots, at times, you know, had some difficulty with what they were seeing from the Packers. But overall, I thought, you know, you take into account, at the end of the night, they scored 31 points. You know, against a team that forced the Los Angeles Rams at home to punt on five straight possessions, I think you got to give the other guys a little credit. I know a lot of their guys were going down to injury, and I know they had traded away Clinton Dix, but you know, it wasn't the best performance by Tom Brady and the Patriots, but you know, I don't look at it you know, as negatively as
I do.
As we do. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right, Bob. Final question. Where are we on Gronk?
Well, he told a group of reporters just a little while ago that it's up to coach, and then there was a lot of laughter. I don't know what's implied in the laughter, but who knows? Who knows at this point?
Can they win without him? Meaning win at a high level without him? Or is it, okay, you know, I think they're 14-1 in their last 15 games without him. Are they establishing that they can win without him?
Well, they've done that, but, you know, they did it with Martellus Bennett filling in admirably 2 years ago. Could they have done it last year against the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road late in the season, really in the game that propelled them to the top seed in the AFC? Could they have come back and taken the lead against the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl, you know, without Gronk out there? That's another those are other questions.
Yeah, that's a no.
I think for the Patriots to be the Patriots, and I think, Tony, that's another thing, too. You got to look at, they played that game against the Packers offensively without a true tailback,
sure,
to run it, without a tight end,
yep,
who could catch it, or at least, you know, with regularity. A guy like Gronk is a big part of your passing offense, and without your starting right guard. I mean, I think all things considered, you put 31 points on the board, and they made the plays late when they had to make the plays to pull away and seal it.
Just quick question for you.
And they could have scored another touchdown, too.
Your podcast. What's the name of your podcast?
They had a goal to go.
Hold on. Let's pump the podcast.
Yeah.
It's the Gridiron and Beyond.
Okay. I know. You know what? Tell these guys to run some promos during our show.
Yeah, we never hear
that. Because I never hear
that. Yeah.
But like, ain't this most heavily promoted thing on this entire station? My God, how much time do we give you for the podcast?
Really, though? So I've come up with a better name for you. What do you call it? The Gridiron what?
The Gridiron and Beyond. It wasn't somebody else came up with that name for
me. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I would go with either.
You know, Fred was giving me a hard time about that earlier.
The Bobcast. Or the Smoking Bobcast.
The Smoking Bobcast.
Well, if we do another one next year, Maz, I'm going to have you voice the intro.
Yeah,
or sing
that.
The intro.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No problem. Yeah. Happy to do it.
Yeah. Bobby, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
He has the call Sunday at 1 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, quickly, we should have the Veterans Day edition of the podcast up soon. Joe Cardona, the long snapper of the Patriots, lieutenant junior grade in the Navy. Just give it a little plug.
There it is.
A nice conversation. A very poignant one, I think, with his thoughts about what the Patriots did last week in their salute to service, and what, of course, he'll think about this Sunday on Veterans Day.
Awesome. There you go. Have a great trip, Bobby.
Thanks.
We look forward to the call.
Felger and Maz. At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
How do you feel out there?
Good. Yeah, I feel good. Yeah, for sure.
Back to 100%?
We don't do percentages around here. We're not. It's got some rules.
Okay. You can be playing this one?
It's up to the coaches. It's a coach's decision.
You feel like you could go?
Okay. If coach thinks I can go, I can go.
So it's Rob Gronkowski in the locker room this afternoon. Weird.
I think he's going to play. He sounds happy.
Or medicated.
Yeah, something. A little loopy there.
Could be. It could be painkillers.
The thing that that just sticks to me is the thing, you know, what percent would you say that you were? We're not allowed. It's against the rules. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah.
He's not going to violate the rules. It's not at that stage. But he's okay telling you, you know, we're not allowed to, for some reason, we're not allowed to say it. This is stupid rules, but I can't say it.
Team policy, don't blame me. It's coach's rule.
You know what I mean, though? So yeah. It's sort of like, you know, you're not allowed to talk like a human being down there. I mean, and they think it's a competitive advantage thing. If Gronk says I'm 50-50 or 80-20, so like, it means nothing. He could say it and nothing would happen, but Bill doesn't like it. And so it's a team rule, and Gronk still sort of lets you know that's sort of my little read into it right there.
Yeah, he's not hiding anything, that's for sure, about what the policy is. So, I don't know. I'm just basing it off of last week. He cut it short. Then he ends up not playing. And I think in retrospect, you connect the two and you say he wasn't feeling right. He was agitated. And it's understandable. I mean, his health is everything, right? So now I hear him sort of loopy like this, playing around. I bet you he plays.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts here on Agenda Free Friday. Everything on the board. Mike in the truck. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, yeah, a couple of things. First, I want to have what Gronk's on. The second thing is I can't wait for the Pats to go into Pittsburgh and beat that arrogant Tomlin running a screen pass in the end zone with 2 minutes left in the game.
Oh, wait a minute, Mike. Are you a Patriots? Hold on, Mike. Are you a Patriots fan?
I am a Patriots fan.
So
yes.
you don't like it when teams run up the score, huh?
What would Belichick have done? He would have run the ball and make you stop him. Right? Not throw a screen pass on the 5-yard line.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure he would. Oh, sure he would.
I don't know about that.
Oh, my God.
The last thing I wanted you nerds to try to look up for me is I'm sick of these national people and all the sports talk talking about Brady's 1,000 yards. Look up how many times he's knelt at halftime ahead by 14.
Oh, my God. You're sensitive about his rushing stat?
Oh, my God.
I can't take it. I can't do it, Mike. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Go somewhere else with that. I can't have it. You whining about someone else running up the score? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Felgate, really, he already has over 1,000 yards because he took a lot of kneel downs.
Oh, my God. I don't think they count the kneel downs.
Like, who cares?
Either way, who cares?
Who legitimately cares about that? Oh, my God.
Matt in Woburn for Maz. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I actually got one for all of you up here real quick. Maz, thanks a million for giving Tucker and Hertz the heads up this morning for that story with Danny Ainge about the free throw percentage. I had a blast listening to that. I don't know if you guys caught it.
I did. It was actually yesterday, but go on. What's the others?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe it was a repeat this morning. Yeah. Sorry. And Felga, thanks a million for not taking the BC call. I have no time for a sport where you got to get 1 foot in the bounds and the stripes on the ball. Murray?
I don't even know what you're talking about. What? Time for a sport? It's a football game. But it's BC, so we're not going to talk about BC. I mean, make me laugh. Seriously. We got any soccer calls? I'll take them. You got me Irish curling calls? We'll take a Boston College football. Make me laugh. Jeremy in East Boston, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Boston College.
I only talk about things that matter and people care about, okay? So that's what we pride ourselves on this show. Boston College football does not qualify. Who are they playing this? It doesn't matter. I don't even care. The previous caller said something that I did want to touch on, though.
The free throws?
The free throw thing. So Danny Ainge is I'm a touch and rich yesterday. I heard this. And they're going over the Jamal Murray thing where he chucked up the three at the end of the game just to get the 50 points. And Danny Ainge was saying how that's sort of bad form and that, you know, going, you're taking, you know, getting on his high horse about the thing. And I guess Maz texted Rich in the middle of it saying, ask him about the free throw record.
Yeah, I did. I kind of bagged him, actually. So at the end of the 86 season, Larry Bird was leading the league in free throw percentage. I'll give you a bridge version. Okay. Ainge would have been ahead of him, but didn't have enough attempts to qualify. So on the final day of the season, they were playing some crap bag team, and you know what Ainge did? He went to the basket every time so he'd get fouled and then could win the free throw title. And then as he explained the story on Toucher and Rich, what he was going to do is that because Bird had an incentive in his contract that he would have made like $50,000 if he led the league in free throw percentage, Ainge was going to get to the line, make one to basically bring him within one of winning the free throw title, and then negotiate with Bird during a timeout to see how much money he could get out of him. But that's the story, that Ainge was going for an individual award.
And yet he was, aghast at Jamal Murray for...
Correct.
Give me a break, Ainge. Like, come on. I followed that guy closely. I remember him very well on the floor. And how he played and how he carried himself. Very little, standing to pass judgment on other players for crap like that. Scott in Weymouth, what do you got for me today, Scott?
Yes, good afternoon. All right, let's talk hockey real quick again. NHL goalies, Felger, I know you're a hockey guy, is the most overrated position in all of professional sports. Once you're at the NHL level caliber, they're all within 1% or 2% of each other. There's something called puck luck. You have a good season. Tuukka won the Vezina. Never spend big money on an NHL goalie. You could take any goalie in Hockey East, which is the best college hockey conference in the country, and put them on the Bruins this year. Their record would probably be the same.
All right, I'm just going to stop. I gave you 30 seconds. You're overstating your point. It's not as stupid as it sounds, because it sounds stupid. But the thing with goaltending is it's super important, and there are big gaps between goalies. You're wrong about that. The misconception is that you got to spend big on it or draft it high or something. It's the NHL goalie I've often equated to the major league closer. Super important. Super important. You got to have one. But where do they come from and what do you spend on them? Like, you could get a guy in the middle of your system who throws 100 miles an hour, catches lightning in the bottle. The next thing you know, he's saving 30 games and taking you deep into the playoffs. And the next year, he's a puddle. And it's like, it's not as dramatic, but you need a goaltender. They're super important. There are gaps in performance, Scott. It's just, you don't need to draft one in the first round. They come from everywhere.
No, you're just as likely to get Tim Thomas as you are Rick DiPietro.
Exactly right.
Right? Like, it could come from, I mean, it's arbitrary. So, which is why, again, you just don't use resources on it.
And the league has caught on to that. You look, you know, year in, year out, goalies go in the first round less than any other position.
Don't you think, though, that every once in a while, there's a guy who is so truly elite, he's worth taking high?
So they thought that of Marc-Andre Fleury. He was number one overall.
But Carey Price.
That I would. Did he go number one?
I mean, I thought he was up there.
Yeah, he probably was. I mean, you know.
But I mean, someone like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure, right. If it's just a no-brainer. Or you think it's a no-brainer. I mean, there's exceptions for everything. But I think the drafting record of goaltenders tell you how teams feel about it, which it's sort of an eclectic thing. They come from out of the woodwork as much as they do at the top of the draft.
Price was fifth overall.
Fifth overall.
But same idea. I mean, either way, you're up high in the draft.
We continue. Long commercial-free segment is next here on Agenda Free Friday.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, we have access to practice. And the day we went to practice, he practiced every play. So nobody had any idea about this. I do know, you know, Devin McCourty has been quoted recently as saying everybody knew about it. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. How did everybody know about this? If he's practicing every play. And the only thing I would say in retrospect, first of all, we don't know really what happened. I guess sooner or later, there had to be something there.
There has to be something there. Correct.
And he's, you know, we had a shot of him crying during the national anthem, so he knew at that point, I guess, that he wasn't going to play. And then the game evolves the way it does, and they're getting shredded in the secondary. So why does he not come in? And the only question I would have is, in addition to obviously trying to find out what really happened, if he's not going to play, why wasn't he deactivated? Why wouldn't you, if he's not going to play, put him over here, he's inactive, and then somebody else comes up? That's the only thing that surprised me. And I've talked to a couple of NFL coaches as well, and that surprised them as well in terms of, you know, if you're not going to play the guy, deactivate him.
All right, Michaels. Shortly after the Super Bowl, with Rich Eisen on his podcast on the Malcolm Butler thing, which is back on the table this week. Not only because you're playing the Titans, but because there feels to be something of a counter movement, a counter PR offensive about Bill Belichick benching him in the Super Bowl. Chris Gasper in the Boston Globe, Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal have said or alluded to or have taken the approach that Malcolm Butler's poor play this year for Tennessee justifies Bill Belichick in some way for sitting Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. So that's been on the table this week. We're going to talk to Gasper in person next hour on this particular topic. Maz feels very strongly about it, for one.
So. Well, Bedard did say the other day that Butler should have gotten the game in the second half.
Okay, he did say that.
Right? He did say that the other day. The Gasper thing blows me away. I told you, I'm very disappointed in Christopher.
Well, you can express that to him face-to-face here in about 5 minutes.
Very, very disappointed.
You say talk to. I think it's going to be more of a public shaming once Gasper gets in.
Shame! Shame!
So, that's on the table. We continue with your thoughts. The other breaking news today is that Tuukka Rask has been given, feels like granted, feels like if you read into Zdeno Chara's comments, that he requested and was granted a leave of absence by the team. No idea what it's about. They said it wasn't health-related. Don Sweeney alluded to the fact that he could be back in a couple of days. And so we're all just sort of left to guess what the heck it is. My take on it is that it makes perfect sense in hindsight that there's something affecting him off the ice, because on the ice, he's been a debacle. I think he's been checked out for the last couple of years. In fact, I mean, really not wall to wall. He's had good stretches the last couple of years, but if we look at it on balance, if we look at it in totality, the last 2+ years, he's been kind of checked out. And certainly he's been slow starting each of the last 2 years, poor finishing each of the last 2 years. And this year was particularly bad. Last night was a joke for everybody. Halak, the whole team, but him too. And so after last night, I'm not surprised. Someone, he, the team, someone said, all right, let's figure this out. Let's take a break. And so that's where we are with Tuukka Rask. Johnny in the car wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Just a couple things on Tuukka. I mean, if he was 7-2 right now with a 1.5 goals against, there's no way that this would even be an issue right now, right? I mean, you agree?
Well, I think one thing might be begetting the other, meaning maybe his off-field thing has contributed to his poor start on the ice.
Right, right. And I mean, if you guys watched that post-game interview with him last night, he made a statement saying that when he came in, he was trying to keep it under 10 goals. And I mean, you're talking to a $7 million goalie there. To make that kind of statement at that stage, I mean, it's just...
It's weird. Yes, Johnny.
It's beyond me. And I mean, he shouldn't be a top-notch goalie. He shouldn't be making a statement like that. He definitely has mental issues.
So let me start. I don't know if it's mental issues or what, but I've, you know, some people have said who are around the team that he's been acting kind of weird this year. Like, he's always a little... Is his own quirky personality to begin with. But they say even for him, he's been a little weird or goofy or off or something.
Off.
Something.
Yeah.
And last night was a freaking embarrassment. Last night was a joke of a hockey game. And here's a little snippet of him in the post-game locker room.
I was just trying to keep it on a 10. That's it. That's what I was worried about. Yeah, you know, like I said, it's loss is loss. Doesn't really matter at the end of the day. I mean, it was kind of a crazy game. Both ways, you know, a lot of, you know, goals scored, and it was, you know, at the end it looked like everybody was napping in the crowd, and you know, it was just one of those games, you know, a whole lot of action in either end, you know, no shots, and then, you know, all of a sudden it's 5-3 and 8-5 or whatever. So yeah, weird game, but you know, that's entertainment, and we're just providing it.
That's entertainment and we're providing it? What?
Wow.
What? I was just trying to keep it under 10. I mean, he's making a joke. He's trying to be glib. But again, some people heard that and was like, that's sort of a weird attitude to strike after that.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a guy who's rambling. Like, just rambling.
I mean,
and not even aware of what he's saying, for crying out loud, if you ask me.
What did he say right after 5-3? Because that's when he came in. So was he kind of saying something about Halak there? Or, I don't know.
So I wonder when he says, I was just trying to keep it under 10, is that a shot at the D?
Right.
Like,
or a shot at Halak, or a shot at, or whatever, or just something. I don't know. I'm just, the caller mentioned the post game. That's it.
I mean, because, look, I thought their D last night sucked.
Oh, it's a joke.
Oh, God, were they bad.
The whole thing was a debacle.
You know, so as much as it's about the goalies, last night was, you don't give up that many goals and have your defense play well either. But I don't know. I mean, look, he's not right. He's not right.
He hasn't been right for a couple of years. I mean, honestly, if we're being honest about it, a lot of people don't want to recognize it, but he's sort of been going through the motions for a couple of years, it feels like. And the start to this year, particularly bad. Out to lunch.
So if he went to them and said, look, this isn't working. I mean, it's just not working. And I'm basing that off a comment that Chara made today where he said about Rask, quote unquote, he described it as his decision, right? His decision. And I hear that and I say, well, the team then didn't go to him. He went to the team and said, look, I'm not there. I'm not there. And whatever it is that is bothering him or affecting him, I give him credit for acknowledging that he can't play with it because he can't.
So that's if we're taking Chara literally.
I mean, right,
you know,
right.
Chara speaks seven languages.
Well, so
sometimes
that's true.
It's not
that's
always
true.
The right word, or, you know, if he meant to say it exactly, like we all know, we don't always say exactly what we want to say, how we want to say it. But Chara did say that, you know. It's very important we support his decision, and hopefully it's going to be solved soon. So we can read into that or not. I don't want to say I don't care. Of course I care. I hope everyone's okay and no one's hurt. And, like, you know, I don't need any of that for Tuukka Rask. But the sort of fan, the view from 10,000 feet is, well, whatever's been going on there, maybe they can start addressing it because it hasn't been working. Whatever it is, it hasn't been working for the guy now for, I feel like, a couple years, never mind this season. So start to address whatever's going on there.
I mean, the whole thing is wildly unusual, right? He doesn't show up at practice. They're 20 minutes late on the ice, and then the Bruins started the whole thing by issuing a statement that I think literally was one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So, with you know, and then Sweeney came out and offered a little bit more, but not a lot. Like, but that thing just came out of nowhere.
Okay, we continue to discuss that. But next, Gasparino. Gasparino joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.